Hey gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is a great website. I go there for the articles. There's podcasts there. There's a donate button there. It's very important. We have limited, viable, honest media, and John Stadtmiller's put together this RBN outfit. We want to support it, and we want to keep it going. But today, I'm going to be talking to Jeremy from Kentucky, and George from Greece, we hope, is going to call in. He said he would call in. So, George, if you're out there, we're waiting on you. But in the meantime, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Slattery. Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear. And so today we're going to talk about Alexander Dugin, who you brought him on my radar screen, but he's somebody who's worth knowing about. He is a Russian. He's born, I think, early 1960s. He's in his mid to late 50s. And he's been pretty prominent in Russia over the past 25 years or so, at least. He was an academic originally, but when the Soviet Union fell apart, he was involved in politics. So I don't know, I might not know as much about Alexander Dugin per se as you or George. I do have a certain background in the Russia and the Soviet Union that he came out of, that I think is kind of relevant. But at any rate, you had asked me on the show a couple of days ago to ask Richard Spencer about Dugin, and it's Mark Collette's show. We were on Mark Collette's show with Richard Spencer yesterday. He has a show on a podcast on YouTube that's like a live streamed podcast, and it's his show. I cleared it with him beforehand, and so he actually asked he posed the question, and Richard Spencer, he said his wife had translated books and he had been involved in translating some of I don't know if Richard Spencer himself speaks Russian, but there's a lot involved in translating because you also have to have the native speaker in English proofread the translation. So he gave his take on Dugin. He basically enunciated the basics of his own relationship or his own opinions towards Dugin. Did you listen to that show, Jeremy?
I did. I was able to listen to it live and participate in the chat. And it's interesting that other chat members were asking about the Dugin question, too. So they either heard your show or they were wondering about it, as I was. And, I did really enjoy that. And, I'm going to be transparent with you, Doctor, and with the audience. I'm highly suspect of Spencer, and I've always been a little suspect of him, mainly because of this, but there's some other issues too. And I was glad to hear him address it. I could tell at first that he didn't want to talk very deeply about it, but then once you got him going, you got a follow-up question into him. And once he got going on it, he was kind of enjoying it. He was kind of getting into explaining the whole Eurasian concept and Dugin's philosophy.
Okay, and I understand that George from Greece has also joined us by the phone. So, George, how are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm just fine here in Greece, and glad to be among your company. And let's talk about Alexander Dugin.
Okay, so, yeah, we were, I don't know if you heard the first couple of minutes of the show. Did you hear the first couple of minutes?
I probably missed about a minute or two. There's a lag between the internet broadcast and actual transmission.
Okay. Okay. Well, so I was able. Well, so Jeremy a couple days ago wanted me to ask Richard Spencer about Alexander Dugin because we're going to be on the same show on Mark Collette's podcast yesterday. I don't know if you heard that podcast with myself and Alexander Dugin on.
Yes, I did listen to it last night.
Okay, good. All right, so we're all on the same page. Okay, so Jeremy was just expressing, a certain suspicion he has about Richard Spencer. Is that based on his relationship with Alexander Dugin, or is that on other things?
Yeah, it did have a lot to do with Dugin, because I've been researching Dugin for a little over a year since I brought him up. And, you know, with work, my normie job, as you say, it's hard to find the time, and there's so much out there, and you don't know if you're getting good information or bad. I try to be as objective as possible, but I do know some facts, and the fact is that Dugin does have two pro-Israeli Jews that he has appointed to his Eurasia Council, Shmuelovich and Eskin, and I'm not sure if I pronounced those correctly, but I do have their biographies pulled up, and I can go into a little more detail, but they, I know the Shmuelovich is very pro. He's pro the Israeli project to get their promised land back. You know, the Greater Israel. He's for that. And now Eskin is a little more closer to our line of thinking. He's for he's pro white South Africaners. So he's for the white farmers. He does a lot of activism for them. And he's got a lot of really good, sharp right-wing views. And I think this plays out in the discussions that we've had, is that there is a right-wing and a left-wing group of globalist Jews. And it seems that Alexander Dugin has lined up with the right wing. And that's one of the big suspicions that I had with Richard Spencer, having been so involved in translating the works of Dugin. But now, at the same time, you know...
Have you read any of the works of Dugin? Jeremy,
I've read basically surmises of them. He did do a work, basically it was Alexander Dugin, and it was addressing the Jewish questions, excerpts from the Jews and Eurasia, if you wanted to look that up, excerpts from the Jews and Eurasia. And okay. He kind of discussed left and right-wing Jewish power. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that if the two of you are available for the whole show, we can just devote the whole show to this.
I am.
Well, on my side, there's no problem about it.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to want to ask George some basic questions, but before that, Jeremy, what did you think of Richard Spencer's response?
I thought it was very well spoken. He's a well spoken person, and I did like how he and Mark sort of compared the Eurasia movement with you know how David Duke refers to us as European Americans, and that kind of gives us all a common ground, because I'm an Irish American, George is Greece, but he's still one of our European brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, and we all come from this homeland of Europeans who have given humanity great things. I mean, look at the Grecian technology and the Romans, and how then that the Western European peoples rediscovered that archaeology and that great artwork and architecture in the domes and whatnot. So it does give us a good common ground, and I'm for that. And it also reminds me of kind of the spirit of Charles the Hammer, who united Europe under Christianity to push the Muslim and Mongoloid invaders out. So I am for a unification, and I did like that explanation. Again, I'm still a little skeptical, that Dugin has these high-profile right-wing Jews, and I haven't made up my mind on him yet. I want to give him a fair shake. I know that the media can destroy people that they don't like.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. So, George, For myself and most of our listeners, we're probably not as familiar with Alexander Dugin and his background and his thinking. He's a philosopher. I guess he came out of academia. Can you give us a background?
Well, he was born during the last decades of the Soviet Union era, and he was pretty much during his youth, he was pretty much a dissident, and there was
so a dissident
much,
against the Soviet system.
Right. During the last years of the Soviet Union, there was some sort of a toleration towards these kinds of movements and individuals. But nonetheless,
President Gorbachev called that policy glasnost, openness, right? Glasnost, that's what we're talking
about. Right. He was able to found this national Bolshevist movement that combined elements of fascism and communism, Bolshevism. It's actually national communism or something. And he educated himself in many different languages. He acquired some kind of fluency in many languages, including German, French, English, of course. He exposed himself during all these years to various types of influences and ideological currents, and later during his life, he went back to university and earned all his degrees up to a PhD in sociology. And he is now teaching in Lomonosov University of Moscow sociology. He was admitted to the during his when he was around 20 years old, he was admitted to the military academy.
So we're talking about the early 1980s. Early 1980s, while it's still the Soviet Union.
Yes, and he. I think he was dismissed or something because of his mannerisms and his ideology, but pretty much that's all I know about Dugin's academic or early life background. He's now teaching in Lomonosov University, and actually he turned himself into some kind of an avatar of this newly formed Russian Federation ideological Eurasianist outlook. He also sports a beard, and many people tend to compare him to
Solzhenitsyn,
that ruled Russia for about 6 or 7 years.
Yes, Rasputin.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a small kind of marketing being played there.
Okay, can you explain what national Bolshevism means?
Yes, actually, as I look at it, it's grassroots nationalism. Combining elements of both ideologies, that's what he aims for. He aims for a merging of those ideological tendencies within a single movement, so that people would gather around from various walks of life. I believe Dugin doesn't want people to have grudges on while trying to join a newly formed movement, and he wants to unite people into a single movement. I think it's a facade. It's actually national socialism or fascism or with a because before all, it's a national grassroots nationalist movement, and of course Dugin knows pretty well where what nation should you know should what yes what nation should national Bolshevism, at least in the Russian version, should represent, and it's the Russian nation and Slavs, and as Dr. Dimitri's, rather Professor Dimitri Kitsikis of the University of Ottawa has commented on, Dugin is actually a pan-Slavist. He's a Slavish Slav nationalist and a pan-Slavist. Pan-Slavism being the movement trying to reunite Slavs all around their historical territories, from the Urals to the northern borders of Greece. Dimitri Kitsikis is the founder of the middle area geopolitical theory, where he tries to educate people about the common destiny of people from Morocco to Vladivostok, and advocates, he insists that he is the founder of the National Bolshevist movement. He has worked with Dugin in the past. He's a Greek.
Okay. All right. So, Jeremy, we have a minute and a half before the break. I want to ask you, is your problem with Dugin primarily that he doesn't talk about the Jewish problem and, in fact, has Zionist allies? Is that the primary problem you have with him?
Yes,
you there, Jeremy?
And yeah. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Yes, it is the primary problem. And what I'm really shy of, even though I like the idea of Europeans being on a united front, I want to shy away from anything that would resemble globalism. For example, I did not vote for Ted Cruz because his wife, Heidi Cruz, was part of the CFR, and they wanted to form a North American Union with Mexico and Canada, and I don't like that. So that's what pushed me over to Trump even before I was fully red-pilled. And I want to avoid anything that would tend towards globalism, even if it's a national globalism. And because if they do form a powerful globalist movement like Eurasia, and if there are powerful Jews behind it, well, we all know what the Jew is going to do. They're going to try to co-opt that movement.
Okay. All right. We're about to go to the break, but when we come back, Jeremy, you had specially requested George to call into the show today, so I suppose you probably have something you'd like to ask him directly, so maybe you can formulate your question during the break. Okay, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
George from Greece, and we're talking about Alexander Dugin and his influence on the alt-right, including on Richard Spencer. And so, Jeremy, why did you want, in particular, why did you want to, George to come on the show? What was it that you wanted to ask him?
I noticed that he was the only caller on Stormfront or on your show that has brought Dugin up. Other than myself. And so I thought maybe he had some insight because I've been curious about this. So I want to pose a question. I'll give a little preface. First of all, George, I envy you that you've grown up in Greece as far as I know. I mean, you're there in your native European land. And we as Americans have to look up our European heritage. And I found out, you know, that I'm Irish from Galway, Ireland. And, you know, that our people, my family's been over here for about 300 years. And I did the DNA test and everything. And I'm over 85% Irish. And that's another thing, is a lot of times Americans will be mixed. They won't have one particular, you know, European identity. There'll be a somewhat of a mix. So I envy you for that. But, you know, whatever, this globe is due for a shakeup. American politics is due for a shakeup, and it's going to affect the globe. So my question is, whatever the movement is, I want it to benefit me as an American, but also as an Irishman, I want it to benefit my people in Ireland. Because the Indian sodomite that's the prime minister of Ireland is going to flood the land with over a million immigrants, and it's going to destroy the Irish people and their culture. So whatever this political movement that's about to happen, I want it to be good for me as an American and good for my Irish people in Europe. So I would ask you, George, do you support or do you think that Dugin's movement is a good thing? And if so, what would the Eurasian movement do for you and your people of Greece?
Well, Dugin poses as an idealist, while on the other hand, we have a radically practical Russian government. In my opinion, their operatives...
And you said radically practical, George. That's what you said, radically practical?
Exactly, deeply okay. practical, and in that they're trying to decompose the Atlanticist paradigm, and they're trying to, you know, assert themselves as a global power again. Rightly so, because they retain a certain amount of self-respect as a nation. But Dugin's idealism and Putin's practicality are this both sides of the same coin, and I would say that in terms of immigration now and your question, Dugin poses as opposite to open borders, but he won't, he will not address the racial question, and in this manner, Russian thinking, as represented by Dugin, is way far behind than our Western counterparts. We have been very racially, how can I say that, alert since the end of the last of the 19th century, beginning with Darwinism, and Russia is in the way of thinking is far behind. Now,
Keep going. I have a question, but I'll hold it.
Sure, but it remains to be seen if Putin's practicality is going to benefit us. There's not much we can do. There's tons of stuff we can talk about it, but in the long run, I think that Putin's practicality and his way of conduct in the world stage might benefit racially and ethnically homogeneous European states. It all depends on stuff that I would say are out of our control right now, because we are a fringe movement, a marginal movement. But please go ahead and ask the question. We might have a conversation there.
Okay, we're coming up on the second break, but basically, I was wondering if, you know, the demographic issues in Russia and the demographic issues in Europe and America, Europe in particular, America too. In Europe and America, it's from immigration. In Russia, so in like Europe and America are being conquered basically by their immigrants. In Russia, the demographic issues come from areas that they conquered in, you know, the 1800s. I was wondering if that might make a difference. And we're going to break now, but maybe you can think about that, and we'll hear your answer after the break.
Sure. Sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Show National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and George from Greece and Jeremy from Kentucky. And so, yeah, I was asking if you thought it made a difference, the fact that Russia's demographic problem isn't so much from immigrants flooding in as it is from having, you know, in previous centuries, having conquered a lot of areas, non-Russian areas. You know, there's a Siberian area that was sparsely populated, but Central Asia and the Caucasus Mountains, which have big Muslim populations. Now, of course, when in 1991, a lot of these areas were sacrificed. They were given up as a side effect of the way Yeltsin overthrew Gorbachev. I don't want to go into all that history, but a lot of those lands were given up, but yet the modern Russian state still wants to keep close ties with these places like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan. And I guess there is still immigration from there, and there's also people who had already moved to what became the Russian Republic before the breakup of the Soviet Union. Do you think does that make the situation different, or am I just off on a tangent somewhere?
If you're asking me, it's my understanding that pure ethnic Slavic Russians would like to brag about their imperial past and their Eurasian and Turanic descendancy, and they absolutely have no problem with that. But it's my understanding also that the westernmost parts of the Russian Federation are heavily inhabited by Slavs, Slavic Russians, and as I talked about in another show, you can see on RT when they are transmitting mass during Christmas or during Passover from the cathedral in Moscow, and take a look at the faces of the people attending mass, it's pretty obvious that they're all Slavic Russians, and the more tyrannic or Mongoloid elements of their society are silently excluded from such kinds of congregations. And in my understanding, there's a simmering Slavism and pan-Slavism, at least for the population living in the westernmost parts of Russia. The problem with racial mixing and immigration, I don't think they see it as a problem. Nowadays, with the Muslim or Islamic elements within Russian society and all the fuss that's been instigated by the Jewish establishment, a global establishment, that's emerging as a problem within Russia and in Putin's mind. But I think they're trying to preserve in their minds, in their ideology, their sense of their empire past. And they won't be giving that up that easily.
And just for a little background on Russia's demographics, Russians themselves are Slavs, European, related to obviously Ukrainians, Belarusians, also to Poles and Bulgarians, and
The Kievan Rus, were actually a people that had Vikings as their elite.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how they began.
The Russian state actually started in Kiev, in what's now Ukraine, and was actually founded by Vikings who were who traded slaves and timber and other stuff all over Eastern Europe, in the Baltic area, and we all know about the Vikings in Northern Europe. So there's this group. There's a linguistic group, a Turkic linguistic group. There are languages that are spoken from Turkey, Azerbaijan, and then across the Caspian Sea to Central Asia, places like Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. And the languages have relations, and they're so the people are often called Turkic. But closer to Europe, these people look more Middle Eastern. Farther away from Europe, these people look more Asiatic. And so you have, you have Middle Eastern types and you have Asiatic types, Mongol or Oriental-looking people. And some of these people lived in areas that are no longer part of Russia, but some are native to, places like Dagestan or Chechnya, which are still part of Russia. So these are non-Slavic, are major non-Slavic ethnic groups there. And it seems that you were indicating that you're getting what is there racial animosity there? Is it animosity or because
No more than there is a racial animosity between Native Americans and white Americans, or between French Canadians and English-speaking Canadians. I don't think there's too much in there, but okay. I think that deep down, facial characteristics will be a decisive factor if things go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask Jeremy now. So you, at the top of the show, said you were suspicious of Richard Spencer. Now, personally, I'm going to say I like Richard Spencer. And now, 2 or 3 years ago, when I'd hear Richard Spencer, I'd listen to him and I'd think, okay, he's a smart guy, speaks well. He, like Jared Taylor and like a lot of other people, avoids the Jewish question. Of course, he's out there. He's organizing. He's getting punched in the face because he's, you know, standing outside giving interviews. He's not, you know, behind a radio microphone. And so that's different. But of course, he did start speaking about Jewish issues maybe a couple of years ago, and speaking, you know, pretty bluntly. At first, I thought maybe he was speaking about them, and maybe he was blunt, but wasn't all that effective. But that's because it's difficult. It's like learning to ride a bike. You don't ride so well at first. But I think he's been doing very well, and as a result, has been very deplatformed, and you know, he's under attack. But so I mean, that's, I'm just being upfront with my assessment of him. I like him, and I think he's got a lot of talent, and you know, I think he's developed as all of us should be, you know, striving to develop. But is your suspicion of I have two questions. It's a two-part question. Is your suspicion of Richard Spencer primarily due to this relationship, and I'm not really sure how close it is, but relationship or influence of Dugin, or is it something else? And then secondly, after hearing him address the Dugin issue yesterday, do you feel more comfortable with him?
Yeah, well, to answer that thoroughly, let me finish up a little bit on, you know, Dugin and what right I ahead. Kind of assessed of him. Mm-hmm. And because yesterday a piece of the puzzle was put in place for me, and that is that Richard Spencer does openly support Dugin, and he and his wife have translated their works. So that is a fact now. We know that for a fact. Now the question is, you know, what is he supporting?
It was qualified. He was saying there's stuff about Dugin that he doesn't agree with. It was qualified.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, maybe generally supportive, but it was qualified.
Yeah, I mean, what bothers me, of course, are Dugin's two Zionist associates, and then I'm going to spell these out for the audience. Avraham, spelled with a V, it's like Abraham, but it's spelled Avraham, Shmulevich, and you can Google that name, and Avigdor, A-V-I-G-D-O-R, Eskin. And that's confirmed that Dugin has these two on his council, and they are Zionist. And, you know, Dugin does put out publications that calls Russians and Jews the chosen people. So, I mean, there is an obvious bond there. So, and you, as you said, Richard Spencer did qualify his support for Dugin. He explained why he did, because Spencer is in favor of a, you know, united European peoples over the world, that which he called global nationalism, I believe, or something like that. And he explained that. I guess this is where this is the issue that I have. Then we are due for a political realignment. Dugin did call for the overthrow of the political system in America in his geopolitics works, and then anybody can Google that and read, you know, surmises of that. So what I'm wondering is you know, and if we do have a fall of our political party, if something happens to Trump, all these Trump supporters are going to be ripe for revolution. They're going to be wanting somebody or something there, and that would be a good opportunity for the alt-right, or whatever you want to call it, for our pro-European movement to step in there and put somebody forward. Is that person, you know, is that going to be someone like Richard Spencer, and if so, can we trust him? I'm just a little leery of someone that would so support you know, Dugin, when Dugin has obvious Zionist ties, but again, you know, Spencer qualified that. I feel a little bit better, mm-hmm. but I'm still a little suspicious.
Well, you said somebody who would so support Dugin, and my question, or what I was thinking already, was, you know, to say somebody supports somebody or supports something is like a yes, no. But the question often that's more important is how much, right? I mean, think of politicians, think of your congressman and you might raise any issue. You know, it might be trade with Mexico or anything. And the congressman can say, oh, I voted for such and such act. Right. But, you know, there's a difference between like, there's a difference between saying, yeah, I voted for something or I support something and actually working hard for it. So when you look at Richard Spencer, for instance, and, you know, the whole body of his work and, you know, the entirety of the various influences on him, how important is Dugin? And, you know, I'm not in a position to answer it, but I don't have the feeling it's all that huge. I don't know.
I mean, they translated entire books. I would just argue that point. That's the only counterpoint
Translating a book is a lot of work. Now, if somebody asked me to translate a book and they were willing to pay for it, you know, and, you know, it's something, and if it was my occupation, and I assume if Richard Spencer's wife was Russian and she was, you know, translated. I mean, when you're translating, you're translating for banks, you're translating for lawyers, you're translating for all sorts of people. And if somebody comes to you, you know, if you're translating it for free, that is being very, very supportive. That's for sure.
We don't know that. Let me just bottom line this. I understand that, you know, Putin took power and he had to befriend Jewish oligarchs to overcome Jewish oligarchs. Trump rose up to the presidency and he had Jewish ties. We all knew about Michael Cohen. We all knew about Jared Kushner. We all knew about these things and we were worried about it. But we tended to support Trump because his platform was good and it was the best thing for our people. So that's what I would ask about Spencer. Is his platform good? Is it the best thing for our people? And should we be worried about these ties? And did we learn something from the support of Donald Trump? That's what I want, is the best for our people. I don't want to be conspiratorial, and I don't want to cause division or infighting. But I think this was a great discussion.
Okay. I want to ask George now. So I don't know a whole lot about Alexander Dugin. When I looked on his Wikipedia page, a couple of things did jump out at me, that in the 1990s, he was initially close to still leader of the Russian Communist Party, Gennady Zhuganov, who actually beat Yeltsin in the 1996 election, but because of American election meddling, Yeltsin was able to remain in office. And if you don't believe that, watch the Zionist Hollywood HBO movie called Spinning Boris with Jeffrey Goldblum. So there's that connection, and Zhuganov in 1996, in speeches or letters that he wrote, an editorial he wrote, he said, if Jews want to live in Russia and act like Russians, they're welcome, but otherwise, get out. He wrote something like that. The other relationship was with Yevgeny Primakov, who I always had a positive view on because he had been Gorbachev's envoy to Iraq and negotiated an avoidance of the Gulf War with Saddam Hussein, only to have it completely ignored by the Bush administration, the first Bush administration. I don't know if my impression of Primakov was a good one. He was Jewish and later became prime minister for a short period of time under Yeltsin in a Yeltsin administration that completely sold the interests of the Russian people, subverted the interests of the Russian people for Jewish oligarchs. So maybe my good feelings about Primakov were misplaced. What do you know about either of those relationships or those individuals? Do you think that's at all telling?
Regarding the communist guy, it's my understanding that Dugin would have no problem whatsoever borrowing elements of Bolshevism and communism and trying to unite them with nationalist views and tendencies. Now, regarding the Jewish guy, as I explained on another show, Dugin feels very comfortable calling us all racists because we ascribe our misfortunes to the Jewish establishment. Yeah, I heard him. Say that in a very recent interview.
We might be going to the break now. I didn't hear the music. This is about the time for the break. Okay, so I want you to continue after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it...
So, George, I'd like you to finish up your thought, and then anything else that you think we should know.
Yes, Dugin would feel perfectly comfortable calling all of us racists because he will not name the Jew. As I have described in another show, his intellectual basis is Bayesian anthropology. He has admitted that. He's a Christian Orthodox. He has to feel love for everybody on this planet. It's a messed up situation. He will be anti-national socialist because, of course, Russia fought the Nazis, and there's a great tradition of philo-Semitism and anti-Nazism in Russia. And this mix-up comes down to being indifferent, towards Jews. But there's tons that we could discuss about that, and I don't think there's enough time. But I would say that whatever the case might be, whatever the Russian experience with the Jewish establishment might be, Dugin decides not to be Jew-wise. Put this in quotes.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Well, maybe we can do this again sometime. We have a couple, a minute or so. Do you have any final thoughts, Jeremy?
Yeah, thanks, George, for coming on. You seem like a man of great wisdom, and you're very objective. And I appreciate you having me on, Dr. Slattery, and giving us a platform to discuss this.
It's great. It's been great talking to you, Jeremy. And I wish we could have the time to talk about a lot of different stuff regarding Russia and specifically Dugin. And maybe we can do it in another time. And I would like to thank Dr. Slattery for being so kind to invite me on the show.
Well, thank you, and I would like to do it again, and we could have a broader discussion of Russia, not just focusing on Dugin, because it's important. It's very important, and that's what this show is for. That's what this network is for. Okay. Well, we still have a minute or two. It's a little bit early for the music. If it was one of my pre-recorded shows, I'd just slap on the music and let you listen to the whole Frebon polka, but
Dr. Slattery, George, if you get on Stormfront, I'm under Kentucky Irish M, and
right,
you can send me a PM.
Sorry, I'll do that. I don't think I have an account yet there, but I will definitely get into the forum and look you up.
Okay, good. Well, now I do hear our bugle call.
Okay.
And this has been a fun show. Everything you ever wanted to know about Alexander Dugin, but were afraid to ask. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.